The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One day when Jesus was praying alone with only the disciples near him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" They answered, "John the Baptist, but others Elijah, or still others, that one of the ancient prophets has arisen." Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ of God." Jesus sternly ordered and commanded the disciples not to tell anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then he said to them all, "If anyone wants to become my follower, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will save it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. Okay. Today's Gospel is a very important one. And to demonstrate how important it is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We call those three evangelists of the first three Gospels the Synoptics, because oftentimes their writing can be put in parallel columns. You find the same story in A and B and C. Now, they all record this story because it not only is an important moment in the life of Jesus when he prophesies his passion, but it also poses a question, not just for the 12 apostles, but for us, a question which believers have to answer right down till the end of time. Jesus asks his disciples, when they are alone together, "Who do people say that I am?" Now, in those days, before television, newspapers, the internet, someone's story, someone's reputation, had to be carried by word of mouth from one town or village to the other. And in the telling, of course, there was a great deal of distortion and imagination came into play. So, as the apostles offered these suggestions from the crowds, they must have been doing so smilingly. Some say John the Baptist. Well, many of the apostles had known John the Baptist. He had not risen from the dead. They knew that Jesus was a different man. Some say the prophet Elijah come back down from heaven. But Jesus wasn't a ghost. He was a man of flesh and blood. Well, some say one of the other important prophets whom God has sent back to earth. So in all of this, you see that the people weren't sure who he was. They knew he was someone great and important, but even those who had heard him speak and preach from village to town couldn't agree on who this mysterious, powerful rabbi really was. So Jesus asks them, "Well, who do you say that I am? You who live with me, you who know me, who do you say I am?" And the apostles fall silent because they're not sure what to say. Jesus hasn't disclosed everything about himself. They have their ideas, but their ideas are still incomplete. So Simon Peter, who's already recognized as the spokesman for the group, the head of the apostles, says, "You are the Christ of God." Now, we use the word Christ almost as a proper name for our Lord. If I go to a classroom, I'm sure that almost every time that I visit and ask a question about this, some little one will pipe up and tell me, that Christ is Jesus' last name. His mother was Mary Christ, and his dad was Joseph Christ. The word Christ is our English version of the Greek word Christos, and Christos is the Greek for Messiah, Messiah. Now, the word Messiah means deliverer. And throughout the Old Testament, there are references, prophecies, to a deliverer. Someone who will be sent by God to Israel to deliver the people from their sorrows and troubles. Now, at the time of Jesus, because of the Roman oppression and control, the invasion by the Romans of the Near East and Israel, the people thought of the Messiah as a king, a powerful king who would arise and who would lead Israel as once David had been a mighty king, or perhaps a general who would conquer, who would put out the Romans, someone who would restore Israel to all of its glory, to glories never seen before, so that it would be the leading nation in the world, the first, the chosen of God. But that wasn't the kind of Messiah that Jesus would turn out to be. Our Lord's mission is much greater than that. Our Lord's mission as deliverer is to deliver us from sin and death, to forgive our sins by the sacrifice that he will offer, to teach us right from wrong in a clear and unmistakable way, to take away false understandings of God the Father, and to bring us to everlasting life. That is Jesus' mission as Messiah, as deliverer. And we sum that up in the word Savior, which is a much better word for us because the word Savior implies an eternal freedom, an eternal destiny. Jesus is the Savior of the world. So when Peter says, "You are the Christ of God," he's both saying the very best thing that he can, but he knows himself there's more to it. And he can't put the rest into words, not yet, because Jesus hasn't informed his disciples of all these things, and he has not yet fully revealed to them the most important truth of all. He is God himself. He is Son of God Most High. He is God made man. That is the truth that the Jews weren't expecting. And yet, the apostles themselves, living with him, were coming to that conclusion on their own. He is not just a prophet, and he's not just a man. But Judaism did not yet have the language for them to use. And they, simple men that they were only beginning to put together all of these prophecies from the Old Testament that were scattered here and there like glimmers of light, like stars in a dark sky. So after Peter says these words, "You are the Christ of God," Jesus tells them, "Don't say this yet. Don't say this to anyone else, because what other people think Messiah means isn't what I mean. It isn't who I am. They're wrong." And then Jesus tells them what kind of a deliverer he will be. The Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day rise again. Well, this wasn't what they were expecting at all. In the Old Testament, in the book of the prophet Isaiah, there are wondrous references that you and I can look at to the suffering servant of the Lord. That's who Jesus is, the suffering servant. And he will be the one who is pierced for our iniquities. And we will look upon him who has been pierced. But the apostles weren't ready for that. They couldn't make that connection yet. They were dumbfounded by this prophecy. And then Jesus says to them, "And you, if you want to be my disciples, you have to be ready for the same thing. If anyone wants to be my follower, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Now, for a Jew in the first century, the cross meant an ugly, horrible, shameful form of death, which the Romans inflicted on them because the Romans considered them inferior. And here is the Messiah, the deliverer, saying, "You have to be ready for that." Day after day after day, you have to risk everything on me, in other words. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever is willing to risk his life, to lose his life, for my sake, will have it for all eternity. That's the deal. That's what he puts on the table. So today's gospel leaves us with two questions. Who do you say that I am? And you have to answer that question, just as I do. I can provide you, and you can search out on your own, everything that the church teaches and knows and understands about Jesus Christ, true God and perfect man, Savior of the world, and friend to each one of us. But then you have to ask yourself, what does it mean to me? And what am I willing to do? What does it mean to take up my cross every day? Now, for the most of us, and for most days of our lives, that is the ordinary sufferings and imperfections of this world. Our imperfections, our inadequacies, and those of others around us. It means the burden of work, labor, sacrifice. It means at times illness or disability or the burdens of age. But it may be more than that. In every life, there are particular sufferings that come to us. Some seem greater than others, but none of us can judge from outside the burdens that another man or woman carries. So Jesus is saying, you have to take these up, shoulder them, carry them, and walk. Move. If you're going through hell, keep going. Remain steady. And I promise you everything. You have to weigh that. So do I. That's the challenge left to us by this passage. What does it mean? To answer it means that life becomes possible. Not always easy, but possible. He will give you what you need and what I need every day to keep our head above water, to take one step after the other, to rise if we fall, to pick ourselves up if we stumble. He will give us what we need to be faithful. Faithful to our families, faithful to our responsibilities, faithful to our own sense of who we are. He will help us to be our best self and better than our best self. He will give us what we need. And at the end, we will have every reward. The one who speaks can do this because he rose from the tomb on the third day. The one who speaks these words to us is faithful and true. We can trust him with everything. That's what we must believe. That's what we must choose. That's how we must go forward. But none of us can answer that question for another. We pray for one another. We do our best to help one another. But each of us must use the mind we've been given, the free will we've been given, the heart we've been given, so that we might see the truth and act on it, so that we might see his goodness and choose it, so that we might overcome the struggle by taking up the cross and walking beside him who is our victory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.